It's a joy to come before our Lord tonight and to seek Him with a whole heart. We're a privileged few tonight to come before God. And today I want to look at the topic of praying with godly desire. And I thought about a title, and that probably best sums it up. Praying with zeal, praying with passion, with a desire, but praying with godly desire, God's desire. So let's ask the Lord's help as we bow. Heavenly Father, tonight we thank you, Lord, for your eternal word that's going out. Father, we thank you that your word does not return to you void, but it accomplishes the purpose that it's set for, Lord. We thank you that this morning we could hear your word. We thank you that we had the privilege of seeing, Lord, a baptism and the privilege of the gospel. And Lord, we thank you for our great salvation. Lord, this is our longing and our desire that this great salvation be known among the nations, to be known coming out of Hazelbrook, Lord, and up to the uttermost parts of the earth. Lord, even as your gospel is going out. And we pray as we gather tonight that you would focus our attention to the words that we're about to hear. Lord, I pray that we would all be edified, that we all be built up as we ask in your precious name. We ask for your Holy Spirit to come alongside us and to take your word and make it living to each one. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I guess there's been a few messages on prayer, and I'm coming to, I guess, a close. And I've had the verse of James really echo down for me as I looked at this broad topic. And that was found in the book of James chapter 5. And that's where I started some, well, probably many months ago now, the book of James 5. And that's where I want to end tonight, in James 5. And James 5:16, and the second part of that verse, there is a statement made here that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That's really what I want to sum up. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If we break that down, effective, we believe that it will fulfill its purpose. Fervent shows desire. Prayer of the righteous, that's you and I, those in Christ, it avails much. That means it works. It's fruitful. It bears fruit. And that's the kind of prayer we need. That's the kind of praying we need. We want to be praying that there be an end result. And that was the word of God in James. And as I looked at examples in the Old Testament of those who prayed and saw prayer answered, I couldn't go past two examples, and I want to just briefly skim over them tonight. Two H's, Hezekiah and Hannah. Two examples where prayer was answered in a powerful way. Hezekiah prayed with tears, and Hannah prayed. She wept before God. There was a passion. There was a desire. There was a longing. It was born in the Spirit of God, out of the Spirit of God. And God responded to that godly desire. He responded. We want our prayer life to be fruitful. And these two examples, these two characters, are two models of prayer. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 20. This is Hezekiah. The book of 2 Kings chapter 20. And reading from verse 1. First six verses, 2 Kings 20. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." And then he turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I've walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what was good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him saying, return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. What a powerful 6 verses. We have a proclamation from a prophet, a warning that you're about to die. Set your house in order, for you're about to die. And instantaneous, almost answered prayer, Hezekiah, he gets down, he wails, he turns his face toward the wall and prays to the Lord. He proclaims, Lord, I pray, I've walked before you in truth. I walked before you with a loyal heart. I've done what was good in your sight. And here it says, Hezekiah wept bitterly. There was a desire for his life to be extended. The prophet comes, the prophet of God comes to Hezekiah, the leader of God's people. And Hezekiah weeps bitterly. His desire is that he might live. And just before Isaiah leaves, he's gone out into the middle court. The word of the Lord comes to the prophet saying, return, tell Hezekiah, I've heard your prayer. I've heard your prayer. You know, it didn't travel into cyberspace. It didn't travel just into that area of the room and that wall, but that reached the eternal God. That prayer, that moment, you know, Isaiah has not left the area, and the prayer has reached beyond what man can see with telescope, has reached the heart of God. And the Lord's word comes saying, thus says the Lord God, I've heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord. That's the example of Hezekiah. Now let's look at the example of Hannah. The example of Hannah is found in 1 Samuel 1. 1 Samuel 1. So I want to open with these two Bible characters and look at the similarities, the passion and the desire. You know, if you don't have a desire, a godly desire in your Christian walk, there's something wrong. God, He raises up His people that they may have a longing. His Spirit puts it there. 1 Samuel and chapter 1. Reading from verse 9, and this is after Hannah. We find out that Hannah went up year by year. The Lord had closed her womb, and her desire is for offspring, godly offspring, that God might be glorified through that which is brought forth from her womb. And she has an immense desire for this to be accomplished. Her cry is, Lord, give me children or I die. And Hannah arises now. And we pick it up at verse 9, after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, and Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul. We read that Hezekiah wept. He wept bitterly. And in the same vein, she's praying. She's praying to the Lord. She's weeping in anguish. And she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts. Now she's been going up year by year, asking the Lord, petitioning the Lord in prayer, going up to the house of the Lord and asking for offspring. And she makes a vow this time, and she bows. She says, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. And Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the Lord of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked of him." And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Two passionate prayers. Two prayers with godly desire. Not self-seeking prayers, but prayers of desire. Prayers of anguish. Prayers even with weeping. And I marveled at these two examples when I considered these examples, that God responded. Did he just respond to their tears? Both of them wept. Both of them wept bitterly. So does that mean if we weep bitterly that God will respond? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. There's more, much more to it than that. Will God respond because of mere emotion? No. It's far more than that. You know, their prayer was not just for their benefit, and God was accomplishing his purpose through even their circumstance and through their prayer. And so it was more than mere outward emotion and focus on that. If God causes you to weep, weep. If he causes you to rejoice, rejoice. But I want to look at something deeper. There was godly desire. There was godly desire in their prayer, and their prayers were from a place of dependence on God and brokenness. There was dependence on God. The prophet came to Hezekiah, and you know, when the word of the Lord comes from the prophet, thus says the Lord, you better believe, thus says the Lord. God will accomplish what he has said. And similarly with Hannah, she was dependent and broken. It was wonderful this morning to hear two testimonies of dependence and brokenness. Two different testimonies, but ones of dependence and brokenness. Dependence on the Lord. Isaiah 57, and Max, you prayed this morning. Isaiah 57:15 says, "For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Why did the prayer of Hezekiah reach God, the eternal God, who inhabits the universe and eternity, before Isaiah had a chance to leave the court, the inner court? It's because Hezekiah prayed from a place of brokenness, a place of contrition, a humble spirit. The Lord dwells in the high and holy place, and he dwells with him who has a contrite and humble spirit. Friend, God will hear your prayer, not because of the amount of prayer or the amount of tears, but because you are dwelling with him, because you're abiding in him. Because the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity also inhabits your heart. He inhabits your heart. And when you pray, you have access to him. You have access to him. And he'll hear your prayer. And he'll revive your spirit. And he revived the spirit of the contrite one when he revived Hannah's heart. And her face, her countenance was no longer sad. She got up. Year after year she had gone and her prayer remained unanswered. And this time she rises. It's the blessing of Eli. And in her heart she knows God's going to work. He will answer. And her face was no longer sad. The psalm also says in Psalm 37 verse 3 to verse 5, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself. Look at this verse. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Friend, these are godly desires. These are not carnal, fleshly desires. There was once an article written, unfortunately, by a large church that had gone away from God. And this caption read, "Delight, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." And at the time, it was some 10 years ago, I was associated with a smaller church. And this was being promoted, the work of this larger church. And I said to the people, "Friends, there's something wrong here. Delight, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." Friend, you can delight in your flesh. You can delight in the pleasures of the world. You can delight in so many things. The scripture says, "Delight yourself in the Lord." And I said, "Friends, there's something wrong here." And I was attacked. In fact, I wrote an article against this. And it was read in front of a church of about 1,000 to 2,000 people attacking me. For me saying, "Friends, you cannot leave the Lord out of the scripture. It says not delight, it says delight yourself in the Lord." You've taken out the critical part of this word. Our delight, if it is any delight, should be in the Lord. And when we are delighting in him, his desire becomes our desire. What God's desire, it becomes our desire. God desired to give Hezekiah 15 extra years. God desired that. And that's why when Hezekiah prayed, he received according to God's desire. When Hannah prayed and was committed to the Lord, God desired that a prophet would be risen up, the prophet Samuel. God's desire was that her womb would be blessed. And God answered. He responds when we pray with godly desire. He responds when we pray with godly desire. Tonight I want to sum up and look at 3 points. How we can pray with godly desire. How can we put this into practice? How can we be praying with the heart and mind of God? How can we be men and women of prayer? We've got 2 Old Testament examples of answered prayer. Hezekiah and Hannah. How can we be those who have answered prayer? Well, the first thing, friend, for you and for me to be able to pray with godly desire is that there must be a death to self. That is a death to self-will. Now, this goes right through the Christian life, of course. But for us to pray godly, for us to know the heart and mind of God, there must be death to self-will. We cannot pray according to our will. We can't just delight and then get the desires of our heart. We delight ourselves in the Lord. We pray according to the will of the Father. And this prayer, as we read before, must come from the contrite heart, the broken heart. You know, the ultimate portrayal of self-sacrifice is that of our Lord Jesus. How he prayed, not my will, but yours, Father, be done. Look at Luke 22. And this really is the ultimate prayer of anguish. It is the ultimate laying down of the life. As the Lord Jesus prayed that the cup of anguish be taken away from him. But look at the next breath of the Lord Jesus. Let's look at Luke 22, coming from verse 39. Coming out, the Lord Jesus, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." That's another sermon on prayer right there in that one verse. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down. The Lord Jesus kneels down and prays, and he says, "Father, If it is your will, Father, if it is your will, or if you, friend, if you ever want to know how to begin in prayer, begin like that. Father, if it is your will. And he said, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, look at the next breath. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. For answered prayer, for prayer with godly desire, there must be a death to self-will. The Lord Jesus portrayed that in this prayer. He prayed, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, that his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. We cannot imagine the burden in that moment that fell upon our Lord Jesus as he knowingly submitted himself to the will of the Father to come and to take the cup of the wrath of God. And in that moment in Gethsemane, he made a decision. He made a decision. And he decided to lay down his life for you and I. He was going to go through with it. He was going to go through with it. And he said, not mine, but your will be done. There has to be a death when we consider any issue in prayer, when we consider what we're about to be praying for. We have to put our will behind. We have to be prepared. You know, Hannah prayed for a son, but until she was prepared to hand him over to God, she didn't receive that son. You know, she went year by year praying that her womb be opened, and no response, no response. But when she made a vow, when self-will, when she got to that place and you know, she was afflicted, she was without child. And there she laid him down. She laid him down. She made a vow. She put more value on her God, even above the value of her own son, of her own desire for that son. And you know, we have to put more value on what our Lord's will is, on what God's will is, than what our own will is. We are to delight ourselves in the Lord, and self is to be put down, put to death. And that doesn't come naturally. That's hard. The natural man and our natural inclination is to be self-will and pray for that which pleases us. But we, to get the heart and mind of God, are to pray according to the will of God, according to the mind of God, delighting ourselves in him. And death to self-will, well, the Christian life demands that. That goes right through. And a fruitful prayer life requires it. It requires it also. For our prayer to be effectual, for our prayer to bear fruit. So we need to die to self-will as we come to prayer. And we need a godly goal. We need a godly vision. When we come to prayer, the proverb, I like the word of the proverb, and it's a broad statement, but it says, where there's no vision, the people perish. Now that's in the old King James, but I like that. Where there's no vision, the people perish. Without vision, without a goal, without a godly goal. All of those who prayed in our examples had a godly goal. Remember Hezekiah. He did not pray that he might live an extra 15 years so that he can enjoy his retirement fund. He prayed. He was a loyal man, loyal to God. Remember what was said of him. He said, remember, Lord, remember how I walked before you in truth with a loyal heart, and I've done what was good in your sight. And he wept bitterly. What do you suppose? That he went away after being granted an extra 15 years and began to live his life for himself? No. His desire was godly, that he would live a godly life. And we must have a godly goal, the goal of Hannah. She handed her son over to God in prayer before he was conceived. There was a godly vision. Without vision, the people perish. There was a godly goal. Hannah's child was consecrated to the office of prophet. Her goal, her desire in that prayer, in that vow, was that he be given. And this I say, we need a godly vision. We need a godly motive, a goal to pray. Test the motivation. Test the motivation of the prayer. As we have submitted, as we die to self-will, generally in our Christian life and in our prayer life, now we begin to test the motivation. Test the motivation of my prayer. Remember in James 4:3, the prayers of the people were not answered. It says in James 4:3 that you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. You ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. We want to be asking with a motivation and goal. We want to be praying. This has been one longing, and I know it's the longing of and desire of every parent, that they pray for their children's salvation. That they pray, we are to not lose that vision, that godly goal. We're to pray daily, if we are parents here tonight, for the salvation of our child, even before Miriam was born, even before my children were born. God placed a desire in my heart. I cannot explain it. I began to weep and to pray for my children's salvation. I prayed like this. I prayed, Lord, if you're going to give me a child that doesn't know you, don't give me that child. Lord, don't give me a child that isn't going to go on for you. And I know the Spirit of God put that desire in my heart. And I know that by God's grace, by His grace alone, both my two eldest children here, Miriam and Timothy, have professed Christ. They have come to Him. And by God's grace, last week, my third child, Andrew, professed Christ after the meeting, after Sunday last week, as in the instruction of the Lord was talked about and Pastor shared on that. That evening, last Sunday night, he dedicated and he knows the Bible. He knows the 7, 8, 8-year-old of understanding. He knew the cost. And I was making sure that he knew. He understood the cost. He committed his life to Jesus Christ. We are to have a vision, a goal in mind. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And if we ask with godly desire, God will grant. He'll grant according to His word. We're not praying to consume it on our pleasures. Oh, friend, it's sad, it's sad, it's sad. So much that of what goes on in Christendom and in prayer lives are self-focused, not agonizing over souls, not weeping that people are going to hell, but praying for self, constantly praying for self. God wants His people to be dead to self and to be praying with godly vision in mind. And then my last point is that our persistence will reflect our desire. Persistence. Persistence in prayer will show you really mean it. You know, I know Hezekiah prayed and his prayer was answered in the moment. But Hannah is the example of prayer and of returning year by year. And friend, whether it be instantaneous answer, some prayer and some godly desire and godly prayer will take years to accomplish. But we're not to be weary in praying always. We are not to grow weary. You know, God can respond to prayers. Even if you've been praying for a certain person, He can respond on the deathbed. Now, God forbid it comes to that, but He can respond. By your continual prayer. And you may see someone commit themselves to the Lord on their deathbed. As we heard this morning from Phil, what an amazing testimony. I don't know if you know what happened to Phil, but you know, he was crushed against a wall by an industrial-sized garbage bin. He was on a job and he at his workplace, he saw an industrial-sized garbage bin going down the hill. And it was in the path of a number of children. And he went to save those children. And he tried to stop the power of this, you know, the industrial-sized garbage bin. And he was crushed against a brick wall. His spine is fused in a number of places. He's in agony. That's why you see him at the back of the church. And he could say, this morning, God brought me around. God brought me around. What some people would see as, you know, just terrible, terrible circumstance, God used that to bring me to himself. And sometimes God will use circumstance. Don't give up. Don't give up praying. Your perseverance, your persistence in your prayer reflects your godly desire. Luke 18, and we have that wonderful account in this first 8 verses, this wonderful parable of the Lord Jesus in Luke 18. Then he spoke to them a parable, the Lord Jesus, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. If you ever want to hear a parable on persistent prayer, this is the one. He said there was in a certain city a judge who didn't fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, "Get justice for me from my adversary." And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, "Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." Then the Lord Jesus, he says, "Hear what the unjust judge said." Hear the words. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church tonight. And shall God not avenge his own elect, the people of God? Shall he not hear our prayers? Shall he not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him? Oh, there's a chorus of prayer. This is the prayer of the elect. This is not the prayer of the self-seeking and the self-willed. This is the prayer of God's elect. This is the prayer of the few who gather, consecrating themselves to God, sanctified by the blood of the Lamb, and are crying out day and night to God. Won't God avenge his own elect? He will. Who cry out day and night, though he bears long with them. And he does. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. What a promise, friend. What a promise of Scripture. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Friend, your persistence, your coming back to God will show you do mean it. You do not give up on people you're praying for. You do not give up on yourself. What is still in you that God can still do away with what's within the wickedness of our flesh? And do away with those things that we stumble in. He can. He will answer. Ultimately, our persistence in prayer shows faith. It shows desire. It shows that we ultimately believe God said he would do what he wills. He will bring it to pass. And we heard some weeks back on fasting as Josh brought us a message. You know, fasting also shows desire if fasting is done in the right way. And we heard a good exposition on the various means of fasting. And so I'd encourage you, if you weren't here that night, to get that tape. But fasting shows desire. And the Lord also used prayer and fasting together often. Our persistence will reflect our godly desire. There was much prayer for the church. There was much prayer. And Romans talks about it when it's written in Romans 1:9, God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, without ceasing. In 1 Thessalonians 1:2 also, we give thanks to God always for you all, praying at that time, making mention of you in our prayers. And in Philemon 1:4, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. I can assure you that prayer, much prayer is made here in this church for God's people, for us all. Isaiah, I want to close with this verse. Isaiah says in Isaiah 62 and 6 and 7, I've set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent. You who come to him, you who pray to him and give him no rest. You know, the Lord doesn't need rest like we do. He is eternal, omnipotent in the heavens. He does not fail. He does not fade away. Even when we are weary, even when we are heavy hearted, even when we do not have a desire to pray, 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 and his spirit will quicken us. And godly desire will come if you're abiding in him. He sees your walk. He sees your life. It's not just a moment. It's your life consecrated to him. Give him no rest till he establishes and till he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Oh, that we would see the Lord's church a praise in the earth. Oh, that we would see his name not be blasphemed among the nations, but that we would see in our own way here, even in our own community, the name of Jesus, a praise on our streets, his name be lifted high. Oh, I hope this has encouraged you some. There's much more that I could add to tonight, but I want to just encourage us with those points. Dying to self, praying with godly vision, persisting in prayer, having a prayer life that is prayed out with godly desire. Let's come to him now. Father, we thank you tonight. Oh Lord, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there is no good thing. Anything that is good in me or in any of us here tonight is from you. So Lord, the prayer that you give and the godly desire is from you. It just doesn't stem. It doesn't come naturally from the flesh. It doesn't come naturally from us just living our existence out in this earth. But I pray that we'd be a people committed and consecrated, that we would take heart, that we would see the example set before us in the Old Testament, that we would see the great passion of our Lord as he committed himself and handed himself to the will of the Father, that we would see the parable of the widow, and that we would be persistent in our prayer to a God who bears long with us. Though we are flesh, though we are weak, you bear long with us. And God, as we begin to pray, you are the one, you, Holy Spirit, are the one who quicken us, who are the one who transform our heart and mind, that we may pray according to the will of the Father. Lord, bless your church, bless your people tonight. Spur us on, yes, Lord, to do great things for you. That your name be lifted up, starting here in Hazelbrook, and moving out from Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth, Father. Yes, Lord. And we must not forget, Lord, even as we close tonight, our dear brethren in Laos, God, our heart goes out to them. Lord, those who remain in chains, oh God, won't you set them free? Won't you release them and return them to their families and to their churches, Lord? Oh God, give us a desire to pray. Give us a longing to fast and pray for them, Lord, that we may be knit with them, according to Hebrews 13:3, and remember those in chains as if being bound with them. God, teach us that we may also experience the presence and the power of the Lord Jesus as they do, even in their bonds, even as we heard this morning. Father, won't you set them free? Won't you hear our prayer tonight, the prayer of your people, Lord, and set them free. Lord, we praise you, we thank you, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.